In this episode of the Music Folder, we have a great chance to host Wolfgang Voigt. Welcome, Wolfgang.
Hello.
Wolfgang was born in Cologne, Germany, and it is considered as one of the most influential artists in the techno and electronic scene far beyond the German borders. It is precisely on the edge of the border and around its crossing that the artistic work of Wolfgang Voigt moves and is organized. Not merely an electronic musician, but what we might call a total artist. As is well known, he founded in 1993, together with other fellow music lovers, including his brother Heinrich Voigt, Jörg Burge, Michael Meyer, and Jürgen Papp, the well-known electronic music label Compact. The visual aspect in Compact has always played a prominent role, but over the time, this role can be said to have matured into a proper artistic language. As if from the simple graphic design of the label, it has evolved into a more concrete art-oriented direction. Can we say the same happened to you? That you began your explorations in the musical field at the end of the 80s to then go deeper and farther into this forest of symbols, as Charles Baudelaire would say, which is made up of the pictorial language?
Okay, interesting and very long question. Where do I start? There are a few questions included in your question about the visual side of music, like we call the project, and of course the visual side of, let's say, the packaging of music in the case of Compact, in of course in my special situation. First of all, it's interesting that these days, and within the last 20, 25 years, music more and more in general, and of course specifically Compact, for the well-known reason, for its remarkable look in this certain kind of, let's say, pop art look and direction, is that the underground electronic techno music, where we all came from and where we all started like 30 years ago in the early days when we invented our company, had a fascinating way of being without any visual sound. The first records released in techno, everything was black. There was no certain look. There was no certain visual identity or visual aspects where you can realize, you know, what is behind the packaging of, let's say, a record sleeve. And this happened at times when already people like me, especially also a few of my friends who invented and started together with me the company Compact, have been involved into, let's say, the very visual side of music, along with the pop art tradition of the 70s and the 80s. And when techno came in the late 80s and the 90s, the visual side was, let's say, was hided, because it was only about music. The interesting thing was, there have been black records with black labels, and most of them has not been written where it's from. It doesn't matter was it from which side of the world the music came from and who was the person behind. There was no pop star image in the early beginning of techno. And one reason was because there has no certain visual side, no visual aspect, you know, a pop star in front of a record sleeve or certain designs. And this was very interesting for us because we came from thinking visual and music artistic aspects together in one topic. Yeah, and this was the early years. But very soon, after two years, all been hided behind black records, the visual side came back more and more. And we found it really important, along with other labels all over the world, to show and create a visual image to explain our music as well, together with the musical image. For example, when we talk about the early days of minimal electronic techno music, which is all about bass drum and a few sounds around the bass drum, we've tried to find out a visual expression of the same idea, minimal structured sleeves and optical structures, which are influenced by computer-based music programs and so on. And very soon, in our very early days, we created this really remarkable and serial visual ideas of our of our way to show, yeah, what I would still call the visual side of our musical idea. And on the other side, you also ask for, would you see a similar tradition, a similar aspect in my work compared to Compact's work? Maybe this is a good opportunity to explain that the main aspect of let's say, of the label Compact, the pop art look, this factory idea, this idea to design serial label designs in varying colors and little signs, and let's say also the Compact Eagle, which is very well known, to have a red one and a blue one and a yellow one, which is influenced, of course, by this serial loop idea, by ideas like pop art serial ideas, of course, like Andy Warhol and others. It's mainly my idea. It's most of all, and Compact is a group, it's a band, you know, it's five or four responsible people, but everybody is responsible for something else. Let's say my partner, Michael Meyer, for example, he's the frontman, he's the DJ. He brings out the sound while being the only DJ in the group around the world. Me or my brother, we're much more like live acts in music. We never DJ. And we only play live in front of people a few times. But me, for example, I'm the one who brings in this artistic idea and to make techno also an aspect of art in a way, because which is much more my thing. And I have been involved in these kind of ideas, in these kind of artistic practice between pictorial work and musical work long before Compact. I just brought in this idea into Compact. It was not invented in Compact. I've been already artist, visual artist from the early 80s, like 10 years before the founding of Compact. And when we launched Compact, this aspect has pushed much more, especially from me, because I've been fascinated for whole of my life to combine music and art. But it's not because I think it's a clever idea or something. It's just because I have been both for the whole of my life. I've been a visual artist and a musical artist since I'm a little boy, you know. This is more like an accident, you know. And I never could make a real decision. Sometimes the music has been more relevant, sometimes the art. It's not always at the same time. But I've been both for the whole of my life. And this is the reason why also Compact is very much influenced by this kind of optical appearance and stuff, that it looks like it looks, because I was always looking to be part of a serial big music label where I can bring in these kind of serial artistic visual ideas. And yeah. So it is today. Or today it's more than ever before. It's a living practice of my life, in special, and as well as Compact as a part of it. It's our daily artistic practice, in a way.
In fact, if we talk about you linking to Compact Records, it is this Andy Warhol's factory-style pop art that comes to mind. And I'm not thinking only to the Dot series, but most of all to the graphic design of the Eagle. Recently, you have created this very expressionist pictorial version of the Eagle, which is now on show in the label's 30th anniversary tour. Why did you came up to this variant of the Eagle, which somehow brings me back to the different sleeves artworks of Meyer's Mantasy remixes you did?
On the one side, I have to say I'm burying this Eagle since I invented it. And to be honest, I have to say, the original version of the Eagle, it's not that I created it, I invented it. This is the official old coat of arms of our home city of Cologne, and it's free for use for everybody as long as you let the Cologne government know about it. It's something, and I just used it because we're a very local-based label. Even if we're acting and our music has become well-known all over the world within the last decades, we're very much about into our local flavor of style, lifestyle, and characteristic. We're very Cologne-like people, in a way. And from there, we look very open-minded to the world. And so it was, at a certain point, it was a really really necessary move, or let's say a good idea, to use this coat of arms, this eagle, as our symbol, as our one of our symbols for the label. And I started to vary it and to recreate, and at a certain point to combine it with the compact written logo and so on, and use it in colors and in materials and in sculptures and in wood and in metal and on paper, of course, because this is an ongoing project. Along with the 30 years which we are celebrating these days, and of course with the project we do in Italy, in Rome, and in Milan together, where for the first time also in the book we're planning to do the so-called visual side of music, along with Compact, is shown. I was thinking about myself, how is my current position to my musical history, to the company Compact, and to what is the best sign, the state of art, to give a sign to create a current product, a comment of where I stand today. And then I had the idea to come back, even if I'm mostly a digital artist in music and a visual side. I prefer to work with computer because this is state of the art in my mind. I used to work with color. I used to be a painter for 15 years in the early 80s. And then at a certain point, I stopped. Even the same way like I stopped doing handmade music, I'm an educated drummer, played in punk bands and stuff. And at a certain point with techno, the computer was my only band member and in music. And so I did with visual art. But I'm a man of contradiction and of unpredictable moves, you know. I tell you, I only work with computer and don't touch color anymore or drums. And the next day I do exactly this. And this is to surprise myself and to surprise the people. And what I did these days with the coat of arms, with the so-called Compact Eagle, I overpainted it with real color, with real acrylic color on paper, like I used to do in earlier days, like a classical painter, because I want to create something very individual, which I cannot remove, which is really haptic and analog, and I cannot change it in any digital way. Okay, I can scan it and I can tune the colors. Yeah. But what's painted is painted. And this is what I'm looking for. And when I started it, I was really surprised of myself, because the eagle is so established already in the mind of people that at a certain point, it's a monument. It's a statement, you know, like the start of, let's say, like the star of Mercedes-Benz or something like this, you know. But then it's already fixed. And it seems like it's the story has come to a certain end. And then I take the color and put it on the eagle, and it starts living again. It gives me a sign, be moving into the current days of today. And this is fascinating, keeps things still a little bit unpredictable in a way. You know what I mean? That's the reason.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the idea of Walter Benjamin in the work of art at the age of his technical reproduction, this dynamic between the unique work of art within the surreality, in this case, of the digital reproduction of the ego. So I think it's really contemporary, this process you try to explain.
Yeah. In Germany, there's a certain philosophy in art, in music, especially in philosophy, which says something like, things can come back when they know why they have been away. You know, you're doing things, music for a certain time, you know, a certain style of music, and it's really hip and it's hot and everybody likes it. And you feel really high on time, up to date. And there's a certain freshness and you see times moving forward till a certain point. And then something has come to an end for a certain time. It's nothing, and you have to forget it. And especially me, when I do, let's say I do a new one of my musical project, I do, let's say, a new Gas record. And then I'm very intense into this work of process. The next day I have to do something totally else to forget what I did. Otherwise I get too self-critic, and it's not good, you know, for your artistic piece of work to overthink this thing too much. I do the opposite, something else, you know. And within the years, I found out I'm a man of contradiction, you know, and even my relationship with my music and my art is it leads together in a certain way, and it has certain meaning, comes together, and it's also contradiction included. And so it is with music. I'm doing very serious music where nobody will laugh, you know. It's really dark and it's really surrealistic in a way. And on the other hand, I do really light, moving, funny music, which makes you smile, you know. I'm coming from contradiction, and I'm on the way to something like universal simultaneously. I want to happen contradictive things at the same time, you know. And so it is with all of my work, even with the Eagle. Sometimes it's a funny and very pop art like catchy, entertaining symbol which you can wear on t-shirts, and the next time it's a massive, very dark and not really understandable, even surrealistic symbol of something. It depends. I want to keep things alive, you know. And for me, it's, I don't want to be established in history. When I said everything is said and this is what he stands for, then somehow I'm dead, you know. And I always have to destroy again things I invented at a certain part so that they come back, or delete some parts of my hard disk in my brain, you know, to forget things so that they come back.
Yeah. And once we were chatting in front of one of your paintings, and you said to me, this is techno music for the eyes. And compared to the styles of the past that you love to return to and which inspire you in your artistic production of digital paintings, there is a particularly interest for the concept of surreality in the sampling of the images, which restores the dynamic existing between the abstractionism of the forms and the baroquization of the wall, which is alternating abstract language and baroque aesthetics. Can you tell us more about this? Because it's not a contradiction. It is like if they come together, developing a wall, complexity more than a contradiction, I would say. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, like I already tried to explain, a contradiction in general, meanwhile, is an old-fashioned word for me. When I started to combine musical styles, or beat and non-beat, and abstract and concrete, and nice-sounding music with atonal music, ages, decades ago, I was a bit unsure because I don't know. I was not really sure about what people might think about it. Does this work? Will anybody understand what I do? Meanwhile, I don't care anymore, in a way. What I mean with contradiction is, like I already tried to explain, is this, that things, contradictive things, happen at the same time. And I was always driven by the idea to combine things, you know, to come over borders, to avoid borders, and to go much more far beyond, and to see what is behind the music. What can I go back via sampling to the ground to find just the aesthetic essence of music and art while I sample it, or while I scan it in a way, even if it's music or pictures, to come back to the basic genetic code of something. Or let's say to remove all meaning which is already included in establishment. When you do sampling, this means nothing else than taking a piece of anybody else's music and to put it into your own music, combine it, or make something new out of it. And when I started doing sampling, for example, and I'm very well known most of all for sampling music, is it was very important, let's say 20, 30 years ago, that people understood what I was sampling, because the references have been interesting. And it was like about, hey, look what I made. I combined this kind of music with this kind of sample. And this was the interesting thing in the late 80s and the early 90s. Within the years, I felt it more and more disturbing that people understood what you sample. I used it much more like just like abstract material, you know? Of course, I got certain preferences. Like we mentioned, like I like let's say, Baroque music, classical music, or certain sounds, or jazz music, or whatever. But more and more within the years, this is just material. It's just aesthetic stuff, basics, rough material. And even if it's important that these kind of materials remain behind my piece of artistic work, I preferred more and more within the last year that you don't have really to realize. There is something which feels and sounds like this, but it's not very important, because over the years I found out that the new result to make of something, two things of my music and a sample, something third, something new, is the most important thing. For example, my well-known project Gas. In the early days, I found it interesting to let people know that this special kind of combination of classical music, certain kind of classical music, and certain kind of techno structure music, like bass drum and dark moving bass music, dubby music, is interesting to be combined with, say, like Wagner or Schönberg or Bruckner. But within the days, I found out that people found it too interesting what kind of samples I used. And at a certain point, I made the decision to let them know, to say, the interesting thing about Gas is not Wagner. The interesting thing about Gas is Gas, you know? And nowadays, today, in my pictorial work, where I also use, I do swot, I do sampling, I do combination, as well, of course, in my musical work, I still use samples. But it's not important anymore where they come from, because I'm much more ahead now. There's something, like you said, surrealistic. The interesting thing about a piece of art for me today is, apart from that you like it somehow, is that you know, you feel you're staying in front of a picture of an artist or listen to a piece of music of me, and you feel in a certain way, okay, there are certain references, I hear certain samples, and he must be connected with some kind of philosophical idea, but only in an abstract way. The interesting thing of a piece of art is the part of the piece that you don't understand. There has always been a even I don't understand. I'm so much conceptual artist. I always knew everything better. I go in the studio or in my art atelier and I start working. And I got a certain idea. Today I make this series. And then I do it and say, okay, it's fine, it's done. But it's what I expected. And at a certain point, I make some, let's say, some unexpected moves, and it's something different. It's still this piece of work, and you still realize the sample and the music, but there's something ahead, something on top, an additional aspect which you don't understand, something magic. I don't know. This is the point. And the most satisfying point for an artist like me is if somebody else understood, you know, if somebody describes your picture or your piece of music and said, I feel it's like this. And then you feel understood as an artist in a certain way.
Yeah, this is the most important part of the process of sampling, which is this residual part of the signification of the sample that you cannot identify. Otherwise, it would be like a cover in a way. So
yeah, it's a cover, yeah. You have to feel it, you know? It has to touch you in a way. Because, of course, I got preferences. I like pictorial and musical samples I like and I don't like. When I use, let's say, some kind of music as material, a sample, of course I got preferences. I like this kind of music and the other maybe not so much, even if I use everything and it's all material. It's the world of music and sampling, it's a big supermarket of material, you know, and I can do something out of anything. But today I ask myself, is it still necessary? Because I did decades ago. I'm just looking for a catchy aesthetic results, which so shows my artistic recipes, my conceptual thinking, and my preferences in a way. But this is not the main thing. There has also always has to come something on top, something mystic.
And talking about
the third dimension, you have to look with a third eye. You have to listen with a third ear, and then things start working. Otherwise, I couldn't work anymore. If I would understand all I do from the very beginning, and there is no surprise left, nothing unexpectable, then I would not be able to work anymore. Even if I take a risk, because as an artist like me, I'm already established for decades, it's better that they, for at a certain point, to fulfill expectations of my audience, of the people. I just have a successful music project. And it starts working also, people like, and that's really successful. And what do I do the next day? I do the opposite. This is not the best thing you can do as an artist, because, you know, your audience will not always understand and follow you. I do so many different things and even contradictive things that I really have to understand and to respect that people who might like my project Gas, they really don't have also to like polka tracks or Kafka tracks, or people who like my structured digital rhythmic pattern paintings, and like the analog acrylic works at the same time, you know, because I'm not so monothematic. Unfortunately, I'm not like Kraftwerk or Keith Haring, having one idea and rocking it for my whole life. This is really cool that people understand. Yeah, here's the man with the black dot. Ready. Success. You know, sit down, have a beer for the rest of your life. No, I want to take risk in art. This is important for me.
I was thinking about that during the pandemic, it was the 250th anniversary of Beethoven's birth. And in that occasion, you, together with Emanuele Soavi and Stefan Buon, were on stage at the Cologne Opera for the world premiere of Flute. And I saw the teaser on internet. I was surprised by the portrait of Beethoven becoming Voigt. That was similar with the portrait of Kafka Voigt made for Kafka tracks. And can you tell us more about Flute? Is it going to be released?
Yeah, a Flute was a collaboration, like you already mentioned, with the very well-known Italian choreographer and dancer Emanuele Soavi. He's a close friend. He lives next house, and he's an educated classical dancer, and he's a choreographer working all over Europe in dance context. And has very much favor for my music and for electronic music, as well as the other partner of electronic music, Stefan Bohne, who is involved. He's a leader of a famous techno club here in Cologne, and he is also educated actor in classical acting, and he's doing electronic music. And this project, Beethoven Flute, they invited me to be part of doing a collaboration between a classical orchestra, the Duisburg Classical Symphonic Orchestra, and Stefan and me as electronic music, and of course Emanuele Soavi, who did the whole choreography with his dancers, to bring an electronic cooperation between classic and electronic music on stage, along with the 250th birthday of Beethoven. So we did already collaborations with classical and electronic music since 5 or 6 years already. Me and Emanuele Soavi and Stefan. And yeah, this was an official invitation, which has been delayed because of Corona, and has been shown in a few operas in Cologne, in my hometown Cologne, and in Düsseldorf, in the Ruhr area. And what I did there musically is, and what I have been invited for, and what I'm well known for, is when I work with classical music in electronic, I only work with the original sound sources. I'm not this kind of electronic guy using presets in my electronic machines, even though I have tons of it. I use the original Beethoven material and brought it through my electronic thinking and machines, and changed it into something else and brought it out on stage in an electronic abstract way. What I do with classical sound sources is more like modulating, like a sculpture. I use it like just like a piece of music without structures, and I do a modulating, like, how can I say, like a lump of clay, something like this. And this is what I did, of course, let's say, with Wagner, among others, with Gas, and so I did with Beethoven, for example, on this. So it leads to, you hear, this is what we also discussed earlier today, is you feel still the Beethoven, and you hear, okay, it's based on Beethoven, but I take everything out, which is already established structure, you know, like the narrative, like the original arrangement. It's just aesthetic material. You hear strings, you hear sounds and horns and celli and whatever, and horns, of course. But I use it like doing a sculpture, you know. I want to bring out the main goal the composer might have hundreds of years ago, and bring it into a new abstract surrealistic future in a way. And something similar I did more than 10 years ago with the project Kafka Tracks. You mentioned the idea of Kafka Tracks was to make a feeling like the typically danceable minimal techno, 4-to-the-floor bass drum, boom, 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 and to combine it only with the speech. This is the speech you listen to. It's taken from an audio CD, a literature listening CD of Kafka text, you know? And I just sampled it and I played with it like with instruments. I played piano on speech, on voice, to create something like a hyper speech. And the same like the musical references in Beethoven, here in Kafka Tracks, you hear just like minimal abstract rests of speech of and of text, of course. But I use it as a rhythmical thing. Yeah. The only thing apart from the bass drum you hear on the whole project is voice and it's speech. It's sampled speech. And I used it in a rhythmic way on the one side to make it danceable, and in an abstract way on top. And therefore it leads to a certain claustrophobic, really like a bit like nightmare atmosphere of feeling like 1,000 boys around your head. And this is presented on the dance floor.
Yeah, well, our voices are like sounds, is a kind of the territorialization of the voice becoming sound.
Yeah. I was looking for voice and even for speech and for text as sound, you know. I want to keep out the original sense. I don't want to have certain meaning in the original text. I want to use it like abstract, like bring it all together, just like sound.
Yeah.
It's the same what I did with the forest, with the Gas project. Let's say the Waldloops, the forest picture. This is the same idea of what I did with the... I like the forest, I go to the forest, I make a photo of the forest. But I don't want to have him like it is original, because I'm not looking for the classical fascination of nature. This is not interesting for me. Nature is fine, I love it. But I was looking for structure. I have a pop art view on it. I wanted to change it and to bring structure in it. And I said, I don't want to have that the trees do what they want. I want them to do this.
And when we talk about sound sampling, can we establish an analogy with visual sampling? What are the relationships of continuity and distinction that exist for you in your pictorial gesture, in your creative gesture, when you manipulate a piece of music? And when you manipulate a piece of image, for example, is there a kind of visual pitch, I would say? Because sometimes I see the delays in the pictorial gesture in some of your digital paintings.
There are certain connections between my visual and my musical work, while finding ideas, structures, technical ways to work with the material, to work with samples. Let's say, and I was, since I'm For example, working with structured, minimal, grooving, pattern and loop music, which is about repetition, you know, and very minimal repetition. I was always looking for a visual expression at the same time. I was on a point when I made like nothing else than minimal techno music, let's say in the mid of the 90s. At a certain point, I felt like now everything is set. But I'm an impatient, constantly working artist, so I was looking for the next step, for new recipe to go ahead. And then I started working on the idea to try to paint certain musical ideas. Let's say you have a typically minimal techno track, like bass drum and a hi-hat and a few sounds, book-chi, 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 like this. And then I started to paint this idea on pictures, building structures like wallpapers, like loop. And so I came back to the loop idea, to the repetition, you know? And first of all, it was like really about loops, like static loops, having one certain symbol and varying it on endlessly to explain my idea of endless music and endless art. Let's say endless wallpapers, if you like. At a certain point, then it was enough said about it, and the static loop has reached a certain limit. And then I started to vary this loop and to make runny and varying loop structures, which change a little bit at a certain time. And of course, there is a massive expression in my way of how I work with this sound sources and material in music, as well as in this art. And I would say it fits together. And the ideal moment is when I play a certain piece of music and I show you a certain picture, which I feel it leads to each other, it fits together. If somebody else understood and said, this looks like it sounds. Now I can see music or I can hear pictures in a way. But I don't think this is really the most important aspect. The most important aspect is when it works in itself. And you might understand there is a connection, but it's not absolutely necessary, because the most important aspect on this is this, what I would say, what you see with the third eye or with the third ear, which might feed together. When I work modulating with digital material and I do deformation and modulation of photo material or of musical, I'm looking for a parallel reality, a parallel universal. I like what it's originally on the picture, but it's not important because this is already existing. I want to bring this into a more free and far from reality world, to protect the original material from meaning, from people, you know, from what let's say what society or music critics or art gallerists or whatever make out of music and out of peace. I want to keep it in a totally free and abstract room. This is what I call in Germany with my fantasy word, Rückverzauberung, which means something like re-enchantment in English, which means the world is full of material. At a certain way, everything is said. I take something, a piece of music, which is already existing, or a picture, which is existing, and try to put it under, let's say, like a pop art microscope, you know, and I make it so big that I only see the genetic code, the aesthetic basic material. And with this, I work to protect what is originally in it. Of course, this is an abstract idea, and this is not realistic, but one of my main artistic goals is not to be realistic. Some of my greatest enemies in art and music is reality. Reality is boring. I'm living in a parallel universe of reality. That's the point. And in the end, it's not important what kind of material I use. Of course, there's aesthetic. I like black and white, even if my pictures are always colored. Yeah. So this is, it's not really helpful or useful when you understand 100% what is behind a project. And even if I cannot avoid that this happened, I'm very well known within the last 30 years that for me, you know, I'm always a work in process. For me, after one project comes the next. I do a very minimal and very static music studio eins in the middle of it. It's just bass drum, one sounds, and there's a yellow one, a green one, and a red one, and so on. And the moment I finish this, I do the opposite. I do something very maximum, which is very muddy and colorful and expressive in a way. I don't know why. It's not that I have a certain clever idea or an intention to overcome the rules of art and music. This is something in me that happens. Instinctively, I'm always looking for what is behind, you know. I'm looking for the magic point behind the art, even if I'm influenced by rational, let's say, academic pop art and philosophy ideas that I know structure is structure, and a concept is a concept, and I have to find the concept. The interesting thing about being 100% conceptual artist is when you forget your concept, and when you understand art is always stronger and has more power than any concept and any academic idea about art, is the magic behind. And as long as I can imagine that this is still there and can go on working and can go on being fascinated by these things.
I like this idea that your enemy is reality unless you can sample it, because it is a process of the avant-garde, for example. I see many impulse of the first European avant-gardes in your work. And according to the idea of postmodern thought, the entire 20th century can be considered a kind of incubator century of the principle of bricolage, the concept of the multiple, and this idea that you have been saying, finding the magic behind the things, this reenchantment of the world, and it is a way to sample reality. Can be said that, is this your idea of interdisciplinary, for example?
Yeah. First of all, to the first part of your question, and I said, of course, I am influenced of certain conceptual idea and of art history and music in a certain way. You know, I grew up with art and music since I was a little boy. And even if I've never seen an art university from the inside, or I never studied music because I'm 100% autodidact, of course I have influences and idols and stuff. And of course there's a certain aspect of my way of artistic practice and thinking in art and music, which has certain references to earlier art and music decades in the 70s, 60s, 80s, of course. And of course, I'm influenced in a way. But I hope that people understand that most of all, I stand for the present and for the next few days of future. I'm living now and here, and I always try to transport all I knew about art and music history in my work. But the best moment is when I forget it. When I forget about it and things just happen. Regarding the interdisciplinary, I'm involved into this interdisciplinary business for a few years now, because in art and music, there's a big, I really would like to say something like a trend all over the place in gallery music to have a focus on artists or on art which has a certain connection, let's say, between art and music, and or been focused on artists who are practicing both sides in a way. And I got a bit of a difficult relationship to this kind of idea, because it's a little bit, I would not say hip, because there are a bit group exhibitions which I also have been part of, and I have been part of because I'm in a certain way an interdisciplinary artist. But there are also a lot of people included. Let's say there's a brilliant piano player, which does not automatically know he's also a brilliant painter. And they're so great painters. And only because they have a really massive and really competent jazz record collection, they're not great trumpet players in a way. So there are some contradictions which I see in a funny way skeptical. In my case, this is more like a lifetime accident. I cannot, you know, I'm a man of ears and eyes in a way. And I cannot decide, because call it pathologic if you want. There is sometimes I see music and sometimes I hear pictures in a way. Of course, there is conceptual connection. We already talked about it. But my main artistic reality in my life, and even in my factory, and even in Compact, in my work, is that I'm I'm not really able to make to bring really borders into all these aspects because this is not my nature. You know, it could in my life many times things happen at the same time, and there's and always when I have I create music, for example, I always have already at the same time visual ideas how is the visual expression or how will I do the packaging, the records, for example, and I always think in this multi 360 degree structured idea. But this is not like being a clever idea. Sometimes I wish I could avoid this, you know, and do only one thing so that also people understand better what I do. But this is just my nature. But what makes me, I think, as an artist who is, I'm working really fast, you know, and really multiple way on different projects at a certain time. And I'm not the one who's working 1 year on one track and think that's better. My experience, the longer I work on a piece of art, the worse it's get. You know, it took me a lifetime to come where I are today, but working on piece of art, doing paintings, let's say, one second, doing a painting like this, you know, if it takes longer than 1 minute or two to create one of these, something is wrong. Because I do not work concentrated on details, being better while being working more slowly. And the same is with music. There is a certain mental process which leads me very intense over a week to a certain idea. And then there is the point of explosion. Then it happens. And then I'm very fast, you know. And so it is in my interdisciplinary work. I'm thinking many times I'm thinking the things at the same time. You know, but what makes it mainly interesting for me and gives me a chance ahead of my work is when certain structural, conceptual ideas, let's say in music, has lead to an end and everything is said and I have no more idea I had to bring this project forward. Sometimes I found solutions for conceptual ideas to bring this ahead in art. While painting it, stop doing this idea with music and now start painting it. And of course, the other way around. And this gives me a brighter idea of my personal fantasy, of my view on art. You know, sometimes I have to be focused, of course, but only for a certain time. The point is that at a certain point, you let in all the chaos and the rest of your fantasy to lead it to a bigger thing. Even if the end, it's only one black dot, which you see on the picture.
Yeah, I find really interesting what you said about this transmigration from a language to another. And for example, what intrigues me a lot about your artistic work is the ability to make the playful level of experimentation very serious and operative, pushing the idea of techno understood in a very broad sense, beyond the pre-established boundaries of minimalism or dance floor. I'm thinking, for example, you can be a gas and you can do polka tracks. And about polka tracks, I have always seen it like kind of scientific experiment on the use of tempo in popular dance music. Yeah. Something we could say pitch, but not in a negative sense. Yeah. Like really a melange of different tempo styles,
yeah.
And a very fascinating idea of making a statement between music, tradition, and the future.
Claudia, I'm really happy to hear that. Obviously, you understood my project, Polka Tracks, in the right way, saying it's kitsch and it's funny. It's a good example, you know. Let's say if you take it's all about minimalism in a way, but I'm not classically minimalism, even not minimal techno, while doing very minimal transparent music. Of course, I did transparent music, but not only. For example, gas, it's minimal because it's very minimalistic and stupid going on, but it's a maximum of sound situation because it's really packed and it's absolutely not transparent and it's deep and dark and has multi layers of music. It's minimal because in the end it's only one sound, but the result it's like a big opera. And coming to polka tracks, for example, first of all, I have to explain For the whole of my life, since the early 80s, there has been a musical movement in Germany which was called Neue Deutsche Welle, NDW. And this was the German variation of new wave music, which comes directly after punk from England. And I was very much fascinated that for the first time in my life, that, let's say, musical underground avant-garde music with German lyrics, with German, has not been Schlager and has been successful in the charts, which have been fascinated by. Bands like Palais Schaumburg or Duff, for example, I really loved. I'm educated with these kind of bands. And also earlier, since the late 70s, I have been fascinated by the idea, boundless like MR, to make some out of the difficult, typically traditional German music tradition, like German Schlager, you know, Roy Black and these guys, like polka music, brass music, like this Umter. I always loved this two to the floor beat, but I love reggae, I love polka. This kind of beat, for me, it's the best kind of dance music. On the other hand, I know that polka music and brass music, like this, or march music, it's difficult, you know, you cannot take it serious. And of course, it's for the musical avant-garde underground. It's the music of the wrong people, in a way. I've always have been fascinated to take the essence of these kind of music and lead it into something else, into serious underground electronic music and combine it with techno. So I did with polka tracks. It was great, like you said, even if the reference, it's kitsch and it's funny in a way. It's serious. For me, this is a serious scientific project. It is. It's just about working with structures of music, just taking the beat. My main goal was to use polka or to use brass music, and nobody will laugh anymore. But it doesn't work. In the end, people will have when they listen to polka, they say, okay, man, it's a great idea, and you took all out the bullshit lyrics and all the stuff, but it's still funny. It is funny, you know? And even if I'm really dark and serious and making the soundtracks for the depressive, get lost in the world people of the world with my gas project, it's the same guy who does, let's say, more or less funny polka tracks or Kafka tracks music. Now, for me, this is no contradiction. Yeah. Even if some people are really, some people have problems with that. Of course you lose some fans if you have this strict nerdy fans, you know, you say they're absolutely gas fans, you know, and they don't really understand why I do also polka tracks, for example. But this does not mean for me that I do avoid. There was a certain idea and there was an offer to the people. I wanted to make it.
That's why I thought it was a kind of a statement. I mean, the same thing we could say with Gabba, because if we do it faster, we are in the same kind of on march. And it is a question involving the body, the machine, and the velocity. That's the thing about popular dance music. And it is not about laughing, but is about the roots, because they are evolving and sometimes they can become more minimal and more refined. But at the base is something about the body dancing. So I think polka tracks is a very good example to explain this kind of evolution.
Polka tracks is gabba and very slowly. In a way,
yes,
it's slowly, it's slow gabba. I loved gabba in the early 90s. This was a massive piece of freedom of music. It was so stupid, so strange, so over the top, the speed, but I really loved it. And what I also loved is, to be honest, is I always came from this sophisticated 80s Cologne art and music scene where people were influenced from the Specs magazine. They were listening to the intellectual pop music from England, like Skritti Politti, Prefab Sprout, and later to grunge music from the States, which I all also liked and I come from. But I like the idea of gabba because this was like, fuck you all, here comes the total craziness in the world. It was really, really funny. And it was the right music at the right time. Yeah, to leave the 80s behind us.
Yeah, I think your work is a way to extend the process, behind the dancing part of the music. Because if you explain and if you try to go deeper into the process without revealing everything, you can understand why Gabba music was so popular and why it has been so underestimated, because there is something grotesque in a way. But if we talk about rhythms, there's so much to say, because it's quite difficult to understand why this kind of music were so disconnected by the sophisticated idea of dance music. And I think it's important not to avoid it just because they sound like stupid, because they have been so popular, and something popular is at the origin of pop culture. This is the contradiction in our Western cultures between intellectual, intelligent dance music and a wrong idea of pop music.
Classical minimal techno and techno in general is most of all, it's about rhythmic. All that it's said and included in direct and subtle information in this music is about rhythmic. You know, you make your experience body-wise while dancing. This is the core, the magic of minimal dance music in a way. When this was very new for a certain kind of intellectual, educated pop music people, especially in Germany, they took really a long time to understand that the current sophisticated discourse music of today is without singer, without vocals, without text. It's about beat. You know, the new god is bass drum and something around, and all we have to learn is on the bass drum. This is why a lot of people who have been delayed in understanding it, intellectual people in Germany, didn't understand the early techno. This was the main signal, and also some kind of a political statement, an artistic statement, a philosophy statement. The magic of minimal techno music is when a very hypnotic, very constantly repetitive going on beat is explaining the whole world to you, that it feels like everything is said in this one track without vocals, without any leading commands, without sing-along things that some singer, some front man or front woman explain what people have to think. This was the magic that you only understood with the body. And at this certain point, the body starts getting part of the brain. It leads together in a way. We all were not coming from being dancers. I'm definitely no dancer. You know, I used to be the classical intellectual nerd sitting on the bar with my friends and talking the whole bullshit all the time. And then techno comes and everything has come to an end, and there was nothing more to say. And at a certain point, they have to bring your ass on the dance floor was the idea. And this was really, it was one of the biggest moments in my life when I understood acid house music and techno. And so it is today, in a way, the best minimalistic techno music or loop-based music is when the track is already running 8 minutes and you feel like it's 2 minutes, you know, then it's the magic of the loop, the magic of minimalism. And this 8 minutes, there happen so many things, apart from dancing around on the floor or whatever, there are so many things happening in your head. Minimal dance music is also, it's also very intellectual music, it's discourse music, and there's so much information including in by beat. You're talking to people expressing yourself with bass and bass drum and just a little hired sound, you know? And this is a very complicated international language. Honestly, to say there's so much minimal techno music available within the last 20 years, but only a few percentage has got a certain kind of higher magic where you understand the understanding of the people behind this track who created it without making any verbal explanation. You know, you're in a record shop, you put the needle on the record, and after a minute you understand, that's it. And there might be three other similar records, and you put the needle on it, and that it's not, you know. It's another magic thing about rhythmic and groovy music, which cannot really explain. It works or it doesn't work. Don't ask me why. Somehow I know why, but I hopefully will never be able to explain it to the end.
Changing topics, as you were talking about this passage from kind of music of the last century to the advent of minimalism, do you think there are some new privileged places to stage electronic music, not characterized by the straight bass drum, so not the dance floor? Because places are changing so fast, most of all after the pandemic time. So I was thinking whether we are looking for other places, other sounds, other velocity.
Apart from the situation of the pandemic within the last 3 years, even in the years before, electronic music is, of course, like, is omnipresent everywhere, and it's happening of any kind of places. It's not only the club music anymore. It's not only for a certain kind of people more. It's absolutely omnipresent in a way. First of all, I would say it might be a good idea or a good direction that music or a certain kind of music could happen anywhere in a way and come together. I'm not really convinced of the idea what happened within the last year that especially minimal techno music has been available everywhere. And then on every opening in galleries and art shows within the last 10 years in Berlin, there has to be a DJ playing minimal techno. Might be okay, might not be okay. Meanwhile, regarding music, I'm much more, which I have been also as well in earlier decades for a certain time, but within the last 2 or 3 years, I really appreciate the silence in a way. I like the idea to keep things quiet for a certain way, to focus again, what I said earlier, that things have been away for a while so that they know why they could come back. It's obvious that we cannot invent the whole music, and especially not minimal techno music, new and bring it forward all the time, because most of the aspects are established and they are explained. What we can do today is, and there we are at another point of interdisciplinary thinking, is finding new combinations between music, combine this music with this, and bring forward more and more special fusion ideas, and start combining things which never have been combined in that way before. Even what we had earlier, combining classical music and minimal techno, abstract music, atonalität and well-known harmony sound at the same time. And abstract and concrete, beat and without beat, and lead this out, thinking music more in a way like situation music, not like for certain goals at certain places, at certain parties. I'm always looking for this surprising moment. The best moments in music these days is when it happens when you don't expect it, when it's not planned, when it's not, now it's 10 o'clock, we go for music, or something like that. And even the combination between, regarding talking about interdisciplinarity, between music and art, leads these days to new fantasies, to new idea, and to new combinations between, it's hard to explain how ears and eyes lead together in a way, but there's a more body experience about in seeing and listening, in my feeling, in a new way, at certain points, at certain places, in a way which has never been before. There's always been the idea that that you listen to music while you're looking to pictures. You know, since we know the film business, they combine pictures and music because this makes it bigger in a way. But this is not what I mean. What I like is, for example, is you look on pictures and there is no music, but you hear music, or the other way around. You know? I cannot make an offer or any visions or explanation about what happens next and where it goes to. It's getting more, it's back and forward. It's breathing in a way, and it's going bigger in all directions. And at a certain point, there are the magic moments when things work again. You have to explain, you know, everything about art and music when you're 30 years involved. But at a certain point, the magic is that you know nothing. When you forget it for the moment and things start working, you know, you got your favorite food for the whole of your life and you know exactly how it tastes. Yeah. But this means that it tastes well the next time you will eat it, because your favorite food is your favorite food in a way. And they to keep the magic and the spirit and the sense into music and art is apart from the idea to combine it in a new way and to sync it together in a new way, is to make sure that the ghost is still in the bottle, that the spirit you cannot explain, you cannot establish, and you cannot store it somewhere in musical history and forget it over there, like blues and rock and roll and soul and reggae and so on. Music is it's a feeling, you know. It's the thing we breathe, which we are made out, you know. And it's happening all the time. And for this, sometimes it's important to forget the ugly reality in which music and art happens, the situation where all is established, where all is expectable. The magic is somewhere beside. It's close to what we all know, but it's not exactly there. It's somewhere beside. This is the only thing I can try to explain what keeps me alive, in a way.
I thank you very much for this long conversation. I have other questions, but I think we went really deeper in many different sides, not only visual, not only music, but even the body, even the formats, even memories and everything. Yeah, so yeah. Thank you very much, Wolfgang.